Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
From Vanderpump Rules to Vegas and everywhere in between, it's time to party with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Shenanigans. As I said last week, we have an exciting guest back on my show today, Dave Meltzer. He is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, best-selling author, award-winning humanitarian, CEO of Sports One Marketing, and esports investor of the Toronto Ultra. He was a guest. Oh my gosh, it's been almost a year we had him on, Jamie.
It's our anniversary, and I feel like we should do this once a year with Dave and just check in, because where you and I were last year on that podcast, look at all of the change that has happened in just 1 year. And a lot had to do, I think, with that interview.
Yeah.
At least for me, I think, do you feel the same way?
I really think so too. And it was like, when I was listening back to it, it was right before I left for Australia to go see Brock, introducing my two co-hosts today, Jamie and Brock.
How we doing, guys?
Yeah, but it's so crazy. And I can't wait to talk to him about just everything that, you know, we have implemented in our lives and what we discussed last time. So if you guys want to go back and listen to my last episode with Dave, kind of get to know him a little more, that was the October 29th episode last year. You can hear his very interesting backstory, how he made and lost $100 million and how his sports agency was the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire. Like, he's literally the real life Jerry Maguire. Before we get into the interview, I wanted to catch up a little bit with you guys. But if you want to just, you know, go ahead and skip ahead to the Dave one, then you guys know how to fast forward.
So you just got back from Reiki. Tell us about that.
I did. I had an amazing session this morning. I've been doing Reiki like every 3 weeks. I do acupuncture twice a week. And then I've been doing Reiki like every 3 weeks, just energy healing, clearing my chakras. I didn't know how much I believed in that before, but...
Were you skeptical going in, and then did you see a difference after the first session?
I did. But that's the thing too, is I felt like the first and second session, I felt more of a difference, that now I don't know if it's like because she cleared the most in the first couple sessions that now it's just kind of like routine. Because then when I went into acupuncture after, she's like, did she tell you anything interesting today? I was like, not really, but it felt good to get my energy cleared.
How does she do that? What's the process?
So you need to go. I bought you a session for your birthday.
I'm so excited to go.
Yeah. And I told you as well, honey, I would love for you to come and do one with me.
Okay.
As whatever. But it's a little different each time. Like sometimes she'll have me picture a certain color and then like to picture my third eye and then like my root chakra, like literally like shooting down in like from the ground up to the sky. And like she has these very vivid things that you kind of just focus on. So it puts out all of your other thoughts. And then there's this like music, like like very Zen music playing, but she's silent after the intro. Like she'll be like, you know, connect with your third eye and da 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 da. And she like kind of walks you through a little meditation. And then she puts these crystals in my hands that are like really thick, like oval crystals, and they're called Shugnite.
What?
Yeah. She's like, yeah, when you hold the Shugnite, I'm like, different kind of Shugnite than I grew up with. But it's so crazy because my body literally feels paralyzed.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to do this.
It's like an out of body experience. And every time I'm like, I was laying there and I had a little bit of an itch on my nose and I was thinking about it and I'm like, I don't think I could move. I know if I needed to move, I could, but I don't need to. So I'm just going to deal with the itch. And I'm just like, literally like, it's like an out of body experience, like paralyzed, but in the most relaxing way ever.
I'm going to go next week. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I love that vibe.
If you guys are down in San Diego, it's called Reiki City. It's acupuncture and wellness lounge. Melly is who does my Reiki. Monica does my acupuncture. And then they also have a girl there, Lelaine, who does massage. So it's like, you know, one stop shop.
Honey. That's wonderful.
Did you? Yes. So let's go. Obviously with Dave coming in, let's go back to when he spoke. Cause I remember hearing your podcast about a year ago, just as we started Dean, the dating.
Yeah.
When she was,
it was so hard for me to say back then.
I guess he spoke a lot. And then we hear his preachings and all that about being like a better person, about meditation, self-realization and all that. How do you think, like you guys said earlier, you've changed a bit. What's the best thing you've taken from that? And I mean, I see it every night. I'm in bed listening to your meditation music in your earpieces. So how do you think you've liked it over the years? And I'm looking forward to coming in and speaking to him today too.
Totally. I think that he's the type of person when you talk to him, you just want to be better.
Yes.
And you want to do better. Like literally we've been saying it's 2020, do better. But it goes back to the conversation I had with him a year ago where he just made me want to be a better person, a better friend. And there was one thing which was funny. I was listening back to and I completely forgot about this. You probably remember. But when I was like, well, there's a friend of mine who I'm like on the outs with kind of, and it was Janet.
And he had you text her.
And he made me text her.
What did she reply back?
I think she replied back. It was like sweet. It was like, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Like, let's get together soon. But I think like we were already on.
They were on the outs at that point and they were fighting and then kind of making up and they were, it was just a weird time for the two of them. Yeah. I think it was on the outs of the relationship. And, I think, what did he have you text to her? Like, I'm thinking about you.
I love you and I appreciate you. And like, I'm thankful for you. Like,
well,
something
there you
like
go.
That.
I think that's good.
But there was nothing wrong with saying that.
But
you
the
know,
message
right?
was out there. He sent it out there. You sent a message. She replied back, thank you. That was it. You know?
Yeah.
We take those lessons. We move forward with them. And we try and do better.
Yeah. But it is crazy. A year later, I'm like, well, you know, I sent that message. I tried. I gave that friendship everything. And we don't need to get into that again on this show.
We could talk to him about, you know, certain people in our life and who should stay, who should go, and how to let people
letting
go.
People
we
go.
Can kind of get into that a little
speaking
bit.
Speaking of the man himself, here he is.
Yes.
You.
So it's crazy that Dave is actually our neighbor in San Diego.
It's amazing. Only the likes attract likes. So to have people like you at a higher vibration right in the hood, that is absolutely not a surprise, but super good.
I love this.
I love the analogy, though, the vibrations that you work with. So for my one with my friends, they're like, oh, small world. I'm like, no, bro, we're a bunch of tall people in a small room. So there you go. That's where our relation is on that one.
I love that.
That's it.
That's super great.
So did you grow up in San Diego?
I did. I was born in Akron, Ohio, and joking around, my mom moved me out when I was 9. And when she moved me from Akron, Ohio to San Diego, I told her, Mom, whatever happens in our life from now on, I'll always be grateful because this is the best place in the world.
Yeah.
And it still remains. My wife and I bought our dream house down there and we'll retire down there as well.
I love that. I guarantee that's one of the houses I walk past on our sunset strolls.
We do them daily.
Yeah. So we had you on the show. It was almost exactly exactly a year ago.
Wow.
And what's so crazy is I was just listening back to that on the way up here, and I was like, I just started seeing someone. Oh, I don't want to use the D word and say dating. And here he is.
That's crazy.
You're definitely dating by now, honey.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I was just like, oh my gosh, how much. It's just
now
a year.
Now using the L word for him?
Yeah.
We're using
that. You know, the B word, he's my boyfriend.
Oh, and this is commission.
We're going there. Yeah.
That's good. Well,
COVID definitely fast-forwarded.
You both have good taste.
Yeah.
And they live together. People.
We do.
So much change in a year.
Now in San Diego. But it's great because listening back to the podcast and just seeing where I'm at a year from now, the things that I have incorporated into my life. I know when we had you on the first time, I was saying I was just starting to meditate, and I've been continuing that for over a year now. But on top of that, I've started doing Reiki as well, energy healing, which I absolutely love. So that's been something new. I'm fully off my anti-anxiety medication. And
yeah,
I feel like I'm on a good path, but I think a lot of it started when I had you and Ed Milet on my podcast. It just was very motivating and kind of the jumpstart I needed. And I feel like Brock, not to put you on the spot, but I feel like he could kind of use a business jumpstart as well right now. He has a new app that he has developed that's almost ready to go. And I kind of want to let him tell you a bit about that, ask for some advice, and then I want to get into a few fun topics.
Awesome. Well, one of my favorite things to do in interviews is to take freelance questions about business. So this will be awesome.
I think my biggest one, like right now, and with growing, is just like, the next steps. What's the next step? So we've gone through like the foundations. We figured out the niche. We found the need in the market, which was apparent during the pandemic stage. And then I think the biggest one now is how to connect with people and how to build, I guess you could say, your board of directors. Build people that can either help you, mentor you, financially help you, or go ahead and just lend a hand, for example. So help, mentor, or financial, building your board. That's where I'm at right now. Like, I've got all the pieces lined up. I have the vision. But now it's like, okay, it's a mountain for me to take on. I can do that. Could I reach out to? How do I reach out to? I just subscribed to LinkedIn, which is a premium account, which is sick. But still, how do we take those next steps?
You know, the biggest advice that I give is radical humility, especially for those successful people in the world. Meaning, if you can remember this question in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media, your LinkedIn account's a great start. Do you know anyone that could help me? That changes my life. You know, mm-hmm. I lost all my money in 2008 mm-hmm. and I started to practice radical humility as well as meditate.
Yeah.
But being able to ask for help, to be able to receive, the world is so close that we are limiting ourselves so much by not understanding, number one, what Sheena has realized, what we're connected to, this great source of light, love, and lessons, and allowing it to come through us, to everything we're connected with. And when we don't ask for help, we're denying the own source that created us. We're denying the own source that we're connected to. And in a business context, I look at my scent box still every day. I've never had so much abundance in my life, and I'm looking to make sure that I'm asking in every email in my scent box, do you know anyone that can help me with blank? And so for me to build a board of advisors, right? Board of directors, they'll have liability. A board of advisors, and I'll be your first volunteer to help you. I do a ton of business consulting, advising, and executive coaching. Pick one person that is well-connected. I call it one degree of separation. And then let's find one person that has one ask and one specialty. So we find this person to raise money, this person that may have amplification, what this person perpetuation, this person knows somebody that is technology advanced, but the highest level.
Yep.
People who
yes.
sit, there's a saying, right? You want to know where to go, ask the person that's there. Especially men, we don't ask for directions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad because in business, the easiest way to get to where you want to be is to find the person that's sitting where you want to be and say, how did you get there? And they'll want to help you. Just like you guys are in my place and I want to help you so bad. We have so many different interests that are aligned with each other. It just is innately in my being. I'm like, oh my God, this guy needs to build a community. He needs to ask for help, and I can leverage my community into his community. And I'll rejoice in your success. My greatest success is other people's success.
I like that. And I think that was it. Asked those questions and I looked at my group and my network and that down home. And then that was, I was very excited to come up here as well. Cause again, look inside. So that was my first one. That was my biggest question, I think. And then I think dealing with not failure, but failure to start. And this is not even just business related. This comes down to when we talk about meditation, when we talked about these little key habits. I used to be an absolute animal. I'm now that guy that goes, all right, here we go. But I moved to America with a goal, with a dream to play in the NFL, and I made it. I made it to the Patriots, went over there, and like I lived in Vegas for summers, and I wouldn't drink. I knew what I wanted to do. And then once I got that first denial, once I got cut, and then I kind of had to come up with a plan B. I felt like once I created plan B, plan A just was off a beaten track. And I kept going down and then continually trying to refocus myself or to redrive, even if it's a different passion now, because obviously 30 years has come up now. Now I got to redirect that energy that I have, that I know I have. My failure to start is a consistent reminder of the last 2 years of where I am now, as opposed to what potential I have when I know I can dedicate myself.
So two things. One, the reason we don't move is because we get paralyzed because we don't know what our own values are. I train people, inspire them to take inventory every day of your own values. Literally sit there for a few minutes and say, what's important to me personally? Because when we get those values and say, what are my non-negotiables? For me, number one is health. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the primary one to start. It was always family first, then activity I got paid for second, and then my health. What I started realizing is when it came to spending time with my son or making money, I never picked my health.
Yes.
So I always prioritized. So I had to make my health first because my wife said, if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of others. Two is my family. Three is the actual making money and also studying. So studying to me is paying attention to and giving intention to the coincidences I want, which are directly related to my personal values. Then my experiential values are really important. A lot of people don't think, what do I want to do today? You know, nothing happens till you move. And I know like Andy Frisella, who you may know, he talks about to be successful, he just has 5 things a day and he gets them done. I have a do it now rule. 100% of the things you do now get done. The people who get things done are much more successful than those who don't. And so one of the tricks though, to get started with these inventories of personal, experiential, giving, what are you gonna do to provide value, and receiving, which you have problems with, by the way. You have an energetic, in most, great athletes do this. You have an energetic blockage of asking for help and receiving. You don't like to receive. You'd rather keep
giving.
How do
you know that about him?
Oh,
my gosh. I'm amazed.
I'm an intuit. So listen, he doesn't. But if you can, you know, learn to receive.
Yes.
And the way that I had the same problem, the same energy that you carry, what I figured was, wait a second. I can't give what I don't have. If I really am going to help people, not minimally, like be one of those martyrs, oh, like my mom, who I adore, but she's a martyr. Second grade teacher, gave her life to her kids, gave her, and that's beautiful. But I want to hire like 10,000 of my moms, right? I want to change the world. I want to empower over 1 billion people. Well, I better have some cash in order to do that. So I want to receive with great intention. I don't want anything for myself. I don't. I want it all to go through me to do that. So that fires me up to ask people. And I never could ask for help. I never could ask to receive. I didn't feel worthy. When I was a multi-millionaire, I didn't feel worthy of it. Self-sabotaged myself. Then this time around, became a multi-millionaire again, wanting to receive. And I probably, for myself, I used to drive a Ferrari. I had 33 homes, a golf course, a ski mountain, all for me. Things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. I drive that Volt, is unwashed right there. That's my car. Now, everybody else, I built community centers in Africa. I employ tons of people. My kids are very happy. They go to the best schools. They have the best health care. Everything's coming through me, but none of it would be available if I didn't receive. So you need to shift that energy and remind yourself. And the last piece of advice, lower the bar. Right, you have superhero size and speed and strength. And so superheroes don't like to set little goals.
Yes.
Unfortunately, about little goals are great because you can reach them every day.
They're attainable, they're achievable, they remind you.
I'm a 2 minute a day guy. Like 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. And I also am a first 10 minutes suck person. So like anything I'm starting, I just remind myself before I even do it, man, the first 10 minutes are gonna suck. because I know myself. I've been working out. You wouldn't know this, but I've been working out since, you know, I played college football and well before. I've never started one workout that literally I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. But I've never ended one workout where I'm like, God, I'm so bummed I did that. Not one workout.
That's
never.
So true.
I've never ended a workout going, that was stupid.
Yeah, I wish I didn't do that.
Right, so I just tell myself, like, when I'm going to start doing something in the garage, first 10 minutes is going to suck. Once I get going, I'm in, let's lower the bar. And you'll make it the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential.
I love it.
One of the things you said is that if people are unhappy, they're in an ego-based consciousness. How do you think the best way to overcome that would be?
Four steps. One, you got to identify what your primary and secondary fears are. So most, for me, it's the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm practicing every day going, okay, I don't feel good. Why? Oh, I have a need to be offended. Why are you offended? So I identify number one. Two, I stop. Instead of trying to fight it, one of the things you may do like me is resist it. So I would fight it. If you stop, then you can drop and breathe through meditation.
Right.
I find my center. And then I roll in the right trajectory. Most of the time, what I did was roll in the wrong direction. When I get mad, angry, frustrated, worried, and it would send me way off. I'd accelerate with adrenaline and testosterone, way off where I didn't want to be. And then I was apologizing, reconnect. Instead, I stopped, drop,
hits
and roll.
Home a little bit, right?
Look, I've been married 23 years. I just told a story to Jamie Lynn that I probably had three arguments with my wife. The last one I had was partly because of anger, but I literally was in my own head saying, shut up, you idiot. Did you just say that? Just stop, stop. But it's a practice. Every day I'm angry, anxious, frustrated, worried, guilty, resentful, but it's moments, not days, weeks, and months like it used to be.
Yeah.
And all that energy is freed up to produce things to help people instead of wasted.
Totally.
Yeah, I noticed my lowest point during this whole COVID experience, you know, because we have highs and lows, but generally I've been doing pretty well. But I noticed one day I was extremely low and full of anxiety, and I'm not necessarily an anxious person. And I took inventory of that. I said, what have I done in the past day that's been different? And the answer was I watched the news accidentally. It came on after a show.
Watch the news. Seriously.
Yeah, it came on after a show I was watching and I just left it on. I was like, I haven't watched the news in years. Let's see what's going on. And it was all fear-based. It was everything that I could not control. And the next day I spiraled and I said, that's it. I'm going back to never watching the news. I'll keep up to date on business and stocks or whatever. But as far as, you know, local news or national news with the pandemic, I just realized I can't control this. I don't need to know these numbers. I don't need to know this information if I can't change it. And I think that might also be a component in happiness. Focus on the things that you can control.
Yeah, focus on what you want and you'll get more of what you want. Why do you think there's so many antidepressants, anxiety pills, and those things advertised in between the news segments?
Oh my gosh,
here's a whole bunch of stress. Now here's the cure. Here's a whole bunch of anxiety. Then here's the cure.
Yeah.
Look at what they serve you right there, all the solutions. Don't watch the news, but watch the news. I don't watch the news. Here's the idea of the news. Best piece of advice I can give everyone during the pandemic. Seek the information that you need. Seek it.
Yeah.
It's on the internet. You don't have to watch the news to seek it. You can get the facts and say, how many people, if you're worried about hospitals being overflowed, how many people are in the hospital? Google that, get the number, leave.
Yes.
You don't have to do it all day long, hear the same thing, et cetera. It's terrible for you. It actually carries a frequency that will affect you like it did you, especially if you're not used to it.
That's so true.
Right. I sometimes watching the news in America, for me, it's comical sometimes.
Right.
I'll watch one channel and I'll be like, wait a second, what's the other channel? And I'll flick to the other channel and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just see two viewpoints. And as soon as I see that, I realize I'm like, all right, I'm off the news, you know? Exactly. You can read it online. You can search for it if you want to look for it. Just be a good person. That's the news.
Be kind.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things you said on my last podcast was, if it feeds you, feed it. If it bleeds you, kill it. And recently, not to get into details, because this is all about you and the time we have with you, but there have been some people I've let go out of my life. And I just want to know, is that like a determining factor when you know it's time to let a person go?
So I've actually evolved from that idea, taking him
just love him.
I call it the feeding chain now.
Yeah.
So it's a variance. So I vary how much you feed me, mm-hmm. and that's how much energy I give you. So okay. some people feed you a little, some people, like my mom, fed me a lot. Then you have the people that don't feed you, a different variance now for me. And so it's let them fall away. So if someone's just kind of there, I don't want to waste all my time, energy, seeking their approval or feeding them.
Yeah.
And then worse, there's still a variance, like you said, of the people you fired from your life. And some of the best decisions of my life are the people that I intentionally fell away from, said no to all their offers, never saw them again, mm-hmm. or even because I was such a wreck in 2008, my wife, literally some of the people were so negative. I called them up and said, I don't like myself when I'm around you. This isn't about you. It's about me. I can't see you anymore. And I just want to tell you that I love you. I pray for your happiness, but this is about me. I appreciate if you don't reach out anymore. That's really difficult.
That's really courageous to have that conversation. A lot of people will just cut ties. Do you think it's important to have that conversation, or does it vary based on the situation?
It's a variance. So I think some people I've just let fall away in my life.
Right.
There's another analogy that one of my friends gave me. They either put weight on or take weight off. Like there's friends that just put weight on you.
Yeah.
Everything's heavy. And then there's others like you're around, they take weight off. And so I'm very aware of trying to find people. Like you guys came in and I'm very energetic in my empathetic nature. So like I looked over, I didn't know you were here. And the other interviewer was like, oh, we got to hurry. And I just felt you over there. Like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And that's what I look for. And there's other people I just get around. I'm like, God, there's a weight. And it's like, I don't need that.
Right. Maybe because I got my chakras all cleared today.
Exactly.
Morning.
That was it, honey.
You're lying.
My energy is on point. So we just have a bunch of quotes from you because you just have the most amazing things to always say. But one of the other things that you said is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You are the aggregate of the five people you hang out with the most. So be very aware of who you hang out with. And that this even applies to finances. So I want to know, are you saying like we shouldn't associate with people who not necessarily are unemployed, because a lot of people are unemployed right now, but that you think we should kind of keep around people more so on our same level?
So I think it's important where you spend your time, right? Like I say, you can visit places. And I think the same thing with diet and other things. People are so worried. I go, if you just visit there, it's not a big problem. But if you're going to be in an intimate relationship, for example, one of those really important relationships, you want to make sure it's an elevated frequency.
Yeah.
You want those people to elevate you, and you will. Your net worth will be usually the same as the five closest people that you hang out with. Mm-hmm. I spend time helping all people at all frequencies.
Yeah.
But the majority of my time is spent with five certain people. And that's why you should have three mentors, because I think the process of spending time with a mentor is understanding that they're elevating you. Right, I don't like to be in a room where I'm the smartest person because I'm in the wrong room. I always want to make sure I'm stretching myself and asking questions. And I switch mentors. And my mentors are specific to what they know. Mm-hmm. Right, everyone has a superpower. And I'm looking for someone to mentor me about their superpower and continually growing. But you have to be aware more of, you know, and I say this for my teenage daughters.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that will take on a boyfriend. And you guys have probably had these boyfriends in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, that literally make you feel bad all the time.
Totally.
And what is that doing to you? People do that all the time. Why are you making yourself feel bad when you have all these people that can elevate and promote you?
Right. Good point.
So you've built a really great network, and I'm sure you can probably reach out to a lot of different mentors for specific needs. What would you say to someone who doesn't have a network or has never asked for help or found a mentor? What help can you give them in finding their first mentor?
You know, you have to be more interested than interesting. Really find someone that sits in the situation that you want to be in. Create a list and then go ahead and engage yourself. Ask that person, can I shadow you? Can I have an informational interview? I really admire you. Can I learn a little bit about you? And when you start allowing them to talk about themselves, what they like, what they don't like, you'll be able to align certain things that you can do for them and offer them, you know what? Oh, you like that? I'd love to babysit your kids sometimes, or I would love to internship for you or clean your I had a kid that wanted me to be an executive coach, and he came to the stage. He goes, I can't afford you, but I would do anything for you to teach me. I said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm a dog trainer. I go, that's so weird. No coincidence. I just got a puppy. I'll trade you my executive coaching for you to train my puppy.
Oh, wow.
Because the value to me of having a trained puppy was just as valuable as me being able to assist him as a small business person. That kid is a millionaire now.
Wow.
And he's invented his own stuff. And let alone, my life has changed, though, because one of the most significant things in my life is my dog.
It's your dog knows how to go to the toilet.
My dog's 2.5 years old, and it's the first dog I ever had that's super trained. Nice. You know?
As opposed to California dogs.
It saved
me
probably more money than my coaching, because my other dog ate like $16,000 of shoes, $100,000 of purses.
Right.
Pissed on everything. So raised my blood pressure.
So it's about asking people for help. People generally want to help you, but also saying, how can I help you?
And the best way to ask someone for help, believe it or not, the subtle way to me is, hey, do you know anyone that can help me? Because that's self-included.
Yes.
I believe this. This is a major shift coming from a salesperson. Everyone taught me everyone's a gatekeeper. So the first 20 years of my career was spent teaching people how to overcome objection, overcome the gatekeeper. And then my shift in the understanding of the universe became, everyone's my sponsor. So it's like looking for what you want. Mm-hmm. I started realizing everybody's on my team. They're not against me. So by asking that question is basically saying, hey, you're on my team. You're either a sponsor, you'll know someone that can help me, or a power sponsor, you can help me, and you know someone that can help me. And I'm amazed, even for people that may not feel as if, you know, oh, Dave Meltzer knows everyone. Of course, he can ask these people. I met Steve Wynn the very first time. He didn't know who David Meltzer was. I was blessed to meet him, and I told Mr. Wynn that I respected him, but I had one question. He said, what's that? I said, would you mentor me about your relationship with money? And he said, well, what's that entail? I said, I'd love to have your cell phone. I'll be very courteous and concise. I'd just like to be able to call you when I'm not feeling right about a money decision. I've had bad history. I lost a ton of money. I love your relationship with money. He goes, yeah, sure. Here's my cell phone.
Wow.
Nice.
That's it.
And he didn't know who I was. And literally three times I've used it, and he's probably given me advice that have made me millions of dollars.
Wow.
Because I, you know, the simple perspective mindset, he has such a cool mindset. He's like, ever thought of this? Oh, no, I haven't. And that's what I try to inspire myself to do, is to gather that dummy tax and wisdom to share with people going, oh, I never thought of that. Build one person on it that knows everyone to build my board of advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Can change your life.
That's where it came. Okay.
Yeah. Another quote I have is, if you don't know your what, opportunity means nothing to you. If you know your what, opportunity will find you. So know your what. What would your advice be for others who are trying to find their what or their purpose?
Yeah, so for that, it's interesting. You got to really angle to the what. You have to keep your options open. I say one of the blessings in my life is I wanted to be rich. So I always kept my what open, because my what was money. So I would take any option and evaluate it by what I could make the most money for.
Mm-hmm.
Where my mom and my siblings, they had the whole doctor, lawyer, or failure. And I see my siblings' journey very set, and their what isn't aligned with themselves, right? Their what was what they were told their what should have been. And later on in life, they found their what, and now they're much happier. So I think it's really important to understand what's are aligned with supplementary, synergistic, and alignment with your own values and capabilities. Capabilities are three things. You always have to know your skills.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get your what, because if you're missing skills, you got to go get them somewhere,
right.
Someone else, or learn them. Two, your knowledge, two sides of knowledge, what and who. What do I know and who do I know? And then three, the desire part is so important. You have to practice being what you must be. I look to invest in people. I want to surround myself with people that must be what they can be. I don't care where they're at. These young kids here, they all must be what they can be.
Yeah.
They literally must be what they can be. They wake up every morning. I don't have to worry about inspiring them to work with me, because they must be what they can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's inherent.
I love that. So much good advice coming from you. Yes. Another thing I wanted to talk about was negative people and internet trolls, because this is something obviously very prevalent in my life specifically, but I think just in general, and especially, you know, with being on television, social media, all of that. So when people attack you, you've said that you're grateful. And if someone attacks you, it's for a reason, that they are not happy with themselves and it has nothing to do with you. So my question is, how have people attacked you and how have you changed the way that you deal with it?
Yeah, so people have attacked things I've said, videos I've done, past actions that I've done. And mm-hmm. I think number one, when I take accountability for the attack, meaning there's some sort of truth in the attack,
yeah,
and then allow myself to say, that's who I am. A lot of people, you know, I'll give you an example. My uncle attacked me. I invited him to a charity event. I was raising millions of dollars for these community centers. And he sat at the family table with all these really close people with me from the charity. And his first comment was, I wonder how much David's getting paid for this. And my wife lost her lid.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty bad attack. And for me, I took the thing saying, why would he say that? Well, because he really only knew me when I was 17 to 25. And the Dave Meltzer that he knew, 17 to 25, probably would have looked for an angle of how I could have made money at a charitable event.
Right.
So it was fair for what he was saying. And so when I accepted that and took accountability and said, look, I forgive myself, and then prayed for his happiness, because obviously there was no reason to diminish me in front of my people. That was not right on his part.
Yeah.
I understood why he did it. And then I prayed for his happiness, because if he was happy, he wouldn't have attacked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that online all the time. I also like to confront people, meaning let's communicate the understanding. So especially online, and I know they'll probably provoke more people, but I love when there's haters out there, because I'll say, hey, I really want to understand your perspective. Here's my cell phone. And I give them my real cell phone.
Wow.
99% of people never call.
Right.
And the 1% that call me, I learn from it. Most of them apologize and say, oh my gosh, I was having a bad day, or I was trying to do this. And a few of them, especially with the Black Lives Matter, where I had some things to learn because I don't understand all of it. And they gave me really good input.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I didn't understand everything.
Yeah.
And they had a good reason to say what they were saying. And I'm like, oh, now I get it. Please accept, you know, my apology. I just didn't know what I didn't know.
We've said that runtime to a troll on yours. And I said, look, that's awesome. You can tell me about that. I'll buy you a coffee, right?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Like, oh, man, I'll buy you a coffee. You can tell me about it.
And I mean, honestly, sometimes I was actually just talking about this last night. Brock and I had dinner with our neighbors who are much older than
us. My neighbors?
And yes, your neighbors as well. And they're an older couple, like 65 to 80.
Oh, really?
And old. I genuinely enjoy their company and their stories and everything. And I was telling them a little bit more about my past and divorce and when I was very uneducated on alcoholism and didn't understand what my husband at the time was going through. And I said, it really took being torn apart on the internet for me to open up my eyes and get educated and learn. And that's when I'm also grateful to the internet trolls and haters, because I've become a better person sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes it's just mean, but there have been times that I've really learned and grown as a person. And we're even trying to do this with my podcast now by at the end of every episode, we're reading a positive review and a negative review and trying to take that as constructive criticism in order to make my show better.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm trying to take the negative, be grateful, as you say, and turn it into a positive.
Yeah. Find the light, the love, and the lessons in the negativity. And you could be really clever. I've turned a few negative things around. One of my biggest posts was with Gary. Someone said that I'm better than that. I shouldn't do the same cartoons as Gary. And I was like, it ended up, he did a whole nother piece about how I treated him for trolling me, basically. And that thing got even more following and made us both look really good, because I was humble.
Yeah.
I was open to learning. I find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. And some people are just angry and you can't do anything.
That's so true.
And so part of the understanding is, that person's not ready to hear what I'm saying. I can't help them. So the only thing I can do is pray for their happiness.
Yeah.
If you pray for their happiness, when they're happy, they won't do that to other people.
So there's some comments where you can tell it's just mean. And so those are the ones you kind of should just ignore, I assume. And then there's others where maybe this person just wants to be understood, or we can come to an understanding. And your advice is then possibly confront this person and have a dialogue.
Yeah. Ask them for their perspective. And look, remember, rule number 6 in life is so important. And as you guys get older and more experienced, it's so nice. Rule number 6 is, don't take yourself so seriously.
Yes,
I tell
that.
Myself every day, I don't know what I don't know. I wish wish I had that perspective when I was younger, and I wish younger people could get, but I think it's an impossibility, especially when you're young, to not know that you don't know. And what's fun about getting older is if you're on a quest like I am to be more interested than interesting, to accelerate, grow, expand, compound the interest of my positivity, you learn so much more and you feel like, gosh, I know so much more. But every time I know more, part of knowing more is that you know that you don't know even more.
Yeah. Because there's
and so you're sitting there going, and humility comes over you. And it's just nice to say to yourself, sometimes I get so caught up. Someone, my ego gets in my way. Someone hurts.
Brock.
Yes. Hurts my feelings like a 7-year old, right? They hurt my feelings.
I check my ego at the door. You know that.
Yeah. But they hurt my feelings. And then I tell myself rule number 6, right? Mm-hmm. Don't take yourself seriously. It doesn't matter. In the end, it just doesn't matter. Enjoy that.
Yeah. I have a tattoo on my only tattoo that I have reminds me every day to laugh at myself and not take myself so seriously.
Oh, that's so true. We got to get you another one.
Yeah, right.
Well, I know you do have to get going soon, so I just want to make sure I say
this. I want to spend the whole day with you guys. What are you talking about?
That one.
If it wasn't for those stupid Chargers, we'd be in here for the whole night.
Oh, yes. Monday Night Football.
Well, it's all right. We could take it to a game once they reopen.
That's I have my studio and my office is at the new stadium, so you guys will all come and we'll do a podcast
in
my studio.
I have second row 50-yard line tickets, and I can't use them right now. And it's
I've eaten in my suite. So
amazing.
There we go.
We'll be going together. We'll neighbors, we'll camp.
I love this.
Neighbors together, stay together, baby. Let's go Chargers.
I want to point out that you do a free weekly training every Friday at 11 a.m. via Zoom, a live Q&A. And there's a sign up link in your Instagram bio, correct?
Correct, yes.
You can sign up there and he sends you an email throughout the week as well. I get it all the time.
Exercises, books, guides for free.
Yep.
And my training courses for free. Just, you can even email me, David@dmeltzer.com.
Amazing.
And so, this weekend, he will be speaking at Thrive. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's one of my favorite events to speak at. Thrive is a collection of all multi-industry people sharing inspiration and motivation. So everyone from Tom Bilyeu to Ed Milet to Ty Lopez to E.T. and then just a variety of different industry leaders as well. Dan Fleischman and Joel Marion. Anything that you want to learn.
Yeah.
And now that it's virtual, it's easy, it's cheaper, and it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be on Sunday at 1:45 is my keynote right after Tom Bilyeu. Who's one of my favorites, by the way.
And you have a promo code.
Oh yeah, David. That's
love
awesome.
That. And each week is a new topic with his free training. This Friday is Road to Revenue and Happiness, How to Open and Close.
Yeah, how to be a closer. And I've done Ultimate Ego, Five to Thrive, Pitch, all types of great things. And my playbook, believe this is what's so cool. I have great guests on my podcast, like you guys. And yet the training now is the top downloaded podcast that I have. So people have a thirst for knowledge. They really love the replays, and which makes it really cool for me that as much as we like Danica Patrick and Maria Sharapova and all the, you know, I had Cameron Diaz and Dan Aykroyd, they love to learn.
Yeah. But
people love to learn. And that's the pandemic right now. Like hopefully people are taking that silver lining with it. And I hope everyone's enjoying the time to dedicate to themselves, you know?
Definitely.
Hell yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I know how absolutely valuable your time is, and I really appreciate you sitting down with us. I know you have to get going. We're going to finish off with a couple reviews and tell everyone where they can find you.
Absolutely. The easiest way is just at David Meltzer or email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And I just want to thank both of you. I look forward to sunrise at your house and sunset at mine.
Yes, I love that.
I love that.
Thank you. All right. Well, Dave is a very busy man. He had to get going, but we wanted to end this episode with a couple reviews. So we're going to do that. And then also I have an idea that, well, actually Jamie had an idea. I'm not going to take your idea. When we were talking to Heather last week about her Patreon episodes, I want to kind of like do a poll on Instagram and see what you guys think, if you would be interested in maybe me taking the drinking and podcasting episodes and doing those as like Patreon episodes where it's a bonus episode, not necessarily every week, maybe monthly, biweekly, but where those are a little more unfiltered and out there. And then we kind of keep interviews on Shenanigans, or do you like when I mix those in? I'm trying to keep my listeners happy, and I just want to see what you guys want to hear more of. So if you want to hear more of Jamie and I shooting the shit, doing the drinking and podcasting, just let me know.
Let us know.
Yeah. Write a review. We'll read it next week.
All right. Review number one. What do we got,
first
Jamie?
First up.
Okay. So we'll start with one negative and then we'll end on a positive note. I like that.
Perfect.
Okay. So the 1-star review is from MRG1022. Mm-hmm. I think Sheena has potential to be a great podcaster. She has great connections to get interesting people for interviews. She just has to work on being a little less gimmicky and more of a conversation. We need deep conversations if the conversations aren't funny, and funny conversations if the topics aren't deep. It's the so-so conversations that lose me. The talks about moving to Vegas, her Palm Springs house, workouts, and filming a VPR scene. That's all super boring to listen to. I will say the podcast is better today than it was back in the beginning. Well, that's somewhat, you know, constructive.
That's not a one. That's the bullshit 1-star review. That should have been a 2 or 3.
That should be a 2 or 3. MRG 1022. It's constructive
criticism. It is constructive, but it's not like I hate her. Like, that's a 1-star review with someone who just hates me. If that's constructive and semi-positive, I don't think that was worth 1-star. But
maybe go back and do a 2 or 3. You know, MRG.
I think, thanks. Okay. Well, what's the uptakes from that then?
Well, we're going to install a buzzer, and every time Sheena brings up Vegas, I'm just going to zap her.
Okay.
And what was the last time I talked about Vegas? Is this review from like last year?
It's from Friday.
When did we talk about Vegas?
All the time, honey.
Not recently.
What else is on the buzzing talk?
Okay. She was probably listening to an old
like surface
episode.
Level.
But surface level, yeah. Either keep it funny and light, or if it's deep, then deep. But it's the stuff
let's bring that buzzer
know,
in. I'm going to hit
chatter,
that buzzer all the time.
Yeah. I'm just going to buzz you off the podcast for good.
All right. Let's finish on a high.
Positive note. 5-star review.
I love you,
this
honey.
This just
there
came in on Saturday from Vintage LPS. Sheena is always happy, enthusiastic, brings the best out of her guests, and puts a smile on my face. Forget naysayers and check out her podcast, and you'll end up listening to past episodes too. And check out Sheena's YouTube channel. Her videos are better than an episode of Vanderpump Rules.
Well, we can stop right there. That's it. We'll take that for a win.
We'll take that. Oh, well, I love that. So you guys, I am trying to take your constructive criticism and make this show better. The thing is, I get like torn between like, do I want to make it strictly interview and ask long worded, like thought out questions, or do I want to make it more fun and conversational? And it depends on the guest, where today I felt like was more, you know, interview and less conversational, but I just need to work on that more because I think I'm better at conversation than just like the hard interviews, because it just feels unnatural sometimes to me.
Right. I mean, ultimately it's about bringing value to the listeners, right?
Yeah.
So for example, today Dave has a lot of knowledge, and mm-hmm. the demographic that listens to Shenanigans may not be the same demographic that listens to his podcast. So you're bringing new perspective, new value to these
people.
Considering
Dave works on reality, but you work in reality. So I feel like it kind of contradicts those two worlds. That's for sure.
But that's what I love, being able to mix those two
that's
worlds.
That's what I'm saying. I hope your audience enjoys today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you brought a ton of value. And in a situation like that, we can be humbled and sit here and just take someone else's knowledge in who has a lot more life experience than we do, and a lot more for us to learn. And then on the flip side of that, your listeners are here because they probably are Vanderpump fans and they're fans of you, and they want to hear all of that part of your life as well. So it's probably a healthy mix, and I think you're doing a great job at it. And I commend you for wanting to take into this constructive criticism and be better, and good for you.
Thank you. And also thank you for all of your help and research, because I think that is going to really help me be a better interviewer. Just having my Cliffs notes definitely helps. That's how I got straight A's through high school.
Amazing.
I'm like, I don't want to read the whole book. I just want to read the highlights. So thank you very much. Thank you, Brock, for your input.
We love you.
Love you, honey. All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and go give me a whatever star review you think
just not
I
one
deserve. But yeah, just not one.
Sheena Shea FK.
Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shea. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.